several weeks. We've looked at the first part of verse 12, which talks about our sins being forgiven. Again, we're looking at the Christian life as it's illustrated in the book of 1 John, which brings us to our next point, and we find it there in verse 12, for his name's sake. That, of course, goes back in the context to your sins are forgiven you, which simply means on account of Jesus Christ. There, of course, would be no forgiveness outside of Jesus Christ. But I believe those four words, for his name's sake, also describe the purpose and the motive for the Christian life, the purpose and motive that we ought to have in living. Notice in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, in verse 5, and then we'll read verse 11. He said, "We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake." Again, there it is, for Jesus' sake, which is the same as for his name's sake. Verse 11, "For we which live are already delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh." In it, for his name's sake, for Jesus' sake, meaning the same thing. And those words, those two phrases, really suggest the keynote of our lives. It's why we ought to do what we do, why we ought to desire to be what we ought to be, and that is simply for his name's sake, or for Jesus' sake. That is to be our motive in everything we do, for Jesus' sake, for Jesus' sake. We would be much happier if we lived our life that way. We would have far fewer problems if we would live our life that way, for Jesus' sake. That is, Jesus Christ being our motive for everything that we do. Those words declare the reason, the purpose for conducting our lives. Everyone has a reason, has a purpose, whether they realize it or not. Everyone does have a reason or purpose or motive for what they do. And our motive, our reason, our purpose ought to be this: for his name's sake, or for Jesus' sake. Those words describe the very spirit and heart of what it means to be a child of God, what it means to live a Christian life, what it means to be a true follower of Jesus Christ. Those words are the sentiment, should be the sentiment of every child of God, for his name's sake. And they ought to be our standard. Everybody has to have a standard. The problem is, most people's standard is about the same as the world's, and which is far, far too low, of course. But our standard ought to be for Jesus' sake. You have to have a standard. And that ought to be our standard. And again, if we adopted these words into our life, if we fully accepted those words into our lives, it would prevent a lot of problems from ever happening. And it would eliminate a lot of problems that we already have. So those words, though in the strict context go back to the fact that we are forgiven on account of who Jesus is and what Jesus Christ has done. They also describe the motive and the purpose and the reason for our lives. It gives us a foundation for our lives. And everyone has a foundation. Everyone is building upon something. You may be building upon sand, but you're building upon something. Everyone has a foundation. And there is no better foundation than Jesus Christ, for his name's sake, for Jesus' sake. So this is our foundation. And the foundation of a Christian life. Now again, I personally separate being saved from being a Christian. I don't believe it's one and the same thing. A Christian is a follower of Christ. A Christian is a lifestyle. Being saved does not necessarily mean that someone is going to live like a Christian. They were called Christians first in Antioch, and the reason being is because they followed Jesus Christ. But everyone who is saved makes some effort to live a Christian life. That is to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Now, the Christian life, again, I'm not talking about just being saved now. I'm talking about the lifestyle of a saved individual, which is that of a Christian. A life lived for Jesus' sake. That's what a Christian is. It's living for Jesus' sake. It's being Christ-like. It has a foundation. And it has a foundation in a change that has taken place. If that change has never taken place, you cannot possibly live a consistent Christian life. It's not possible. So the foundation of this life is based upon a change. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17 speaks of that change. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. That is, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Old things are passed away. He's not only a new creation, but to some degree, old things are gone. They're gone. They have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And it's based upon that change that took place when we were saved that we can live a Christian life. Now, notice in Ephesians 2, very familiar verses, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, we again see that a drastic change has taken place. When an individual is saved, it's not a slight change that takes place. It's not an unnoticeable change that takes place. It is a drastic change. Jesus says it is passing from death unto life. Now that's quite a change. From death to life, that's quite a change. That's a remarkable change. That is a very noticeable change. And in Ephesians 2 and verse 1, we read, "You hath he quickened, made alive, who were," past tense, "dead in trespasses and sins." The one who has been saved, the one who has been made alive, is no longer dead in trespasses and sins. They are no longer in the realm of spiritual death. And this is talking about a certain realm of death. It's talking about spiritual death, because it goes on in verse 2 and talks about living, but living in the realm of spiritual death. Wherein in time past ye walked, past tense, according to the course of this world. The world was our standard. The world was our pattern. That's the way that we lived. Now, for those who think that the course of this world isn't that bad, notice what it goes on to say, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. We walk in accord with the course of this world, which is also in accord with the prince of the power of the air. So the course of this world is in accordance with the devil himself. The world patterns its lifestyle after Satan, which is the spirit that now, present tense, worketh, is doing a work in the children of disobedience. Now, every unsaved individual, the devil works in them. The devil works in them. I'm not saying they're demon-possessed. I'm saying every unsaved individual, the devil works in them. That's what it says. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Among whom? The whom, going back to the children of disobedience. We all had our conversation. That is, that's where we lived our life. Amongst the children of disobedience, and we didn't see anything wrong with it, because we were dead in trespasses and sins. In the lust of our flesh, we not only had our conversation among the children of disobedience, we also had our conversation in accord with the lust of our flesh. And we fulfilled the desires of the flesh. Galatians chapter 5 has absolutely nothing good to say about the flesh. In fact, Paul said, within me dwelleth no good thing, talking about his flesh. And were by nature, that is, this is the way we were born, we were by nature the children of wrath, even as others, which goes back to the children of disobedience. Then we see, verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins. That's important. Even when, or even while, we were dead in sins, hath quickened us. Now, the Arminian would have us to believe that you had some life and then he quickened you, but that's not what it says. Even while you were dead, even when we were dead in sins, when we were dead and could do nothing, he quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. My point is, a change took place. A great change took place. And now that change is the foundation for the life, for living the Christian life. A life lived for Jesus' sake is a life lived in a different realm. We no longer are dead. We no longer live in that realm. We no longer are to walk according to the course of this world. We've been taken out of that realm. We're not to live in that realm. And all of this is based upon a change that has taken place. If that change has not taken place, I don't care how hard you try, to live a Christian life, you are going to fail. You are going to fail miserably every single time. And that is why so many people, they're up and down constantly. I mean, they're never all the way down. They're up and down, up and down, up and down. Because they are trying. They come to church. They listen. They know what they're supposed to do. And they try, they try, they try. Pretty soon they get discouraged. They give up for a while. And then weeks or months later, they try again. And that's their whole life. But I don't believe a change has ever taken place. And that's their whole problem. Now, you tell them that, they're going to get highly offended. But again, according to Scripture, a drastic change. Could you imagine trying to live according to the standards of Jesus and still be dead in your trespasses and sins and still trying to walk in the course of it can't be done. You're being pulled from all directions. That is a recipe for a miserable life. A recipe. The lost person who doesn't try is happier than the lost person who tries. They really are. So the world lives for self. We no longer live in that realm. We've been changed. The world lives for wealth. We're no longer to live in that realm. Our realm is for Jesus' sake. The world lives in the realm of knowledge. They strive for education because they've been led to believe that if they become educated, they will be happier. Well, we have supposedly, I find it hard to believe, but we have supposedly the most educated society we've ever seen. And yet, people are more unhappy than they've ever been. We see that the world lives in the realm of pleasure. That's what they live for, pleasure. And yet they're never satisfied with pleasure. World lives for fame. The world lives for recognition. World lives for adulation, for accolades. But the child of God has been brought out of all of that. The child of God has been changed. And now the child of God has the privilege and has the opportunity to live in a completely different realm. To live a completely different life. And our life ought to be as different as night and day from that of the world. It ought to be a drastic difference. That should be true in our families. That should just be true in every aspect of our life. Our life is completely different, and it all goes back to a change. A miraculous change that took place that I had nothing to do with. It was simply by the grace and the mercy of God. But the problem with so many, as we've already said, who profess salvation, is they want to live in the same realm as the ungodly world. Now, I lived in that realm for 18 years, and I'll be honest, I have no desire to live that life again. None whatsoever. I don't want to go back to that life. And again, it's all based upon a change. But today, many who profess to be saved, they still want to live that old life. I don't understand that. And I don't think anyone who has truly been changed can understand why. Why would you want to go back to the old life, as if there is something there worthwhile? I don't see anything worthwhile in the lost life. But these individuals, they act as if Christianity is something that you do when it's convenient. But that's not Christianity. Christianity goes back to a change that has taken place. They act like Christianity is something that you can just take up and put it down. Take it up whenever you please, whenever it's convenient, whenever it's to your advantage, and then whenever it's to your advantage, you can put it down. But it goes back to a change. You see, Christianity is not merely adding certain beliefs to your life. And I'm afraid that's all that a lot of people have. They've added some beliefs to a lost life. But just adding some certain beliefs to your lost life will not result in a consistent change in lifestyle. Again, you sit in a Baptist church long enough, and you can go to a Christian school or whatever, and you cannot help. If you sit in a Baptist church long enough and you're around Christianity long enough, you are going to pick up certain beliefs. And you can't help it. And a lot of people, all they do is they just add those beliefs to their life without a change ever taking place. But being saved is much more than just adding a few beliefs to your life. Some individuals, again, you stick around a Baptist church long enough, you learn that there are some rules. God has established some rules, and they'll just try to add a few rules to their life. But that's not being saved. And that's not going to result in a consistent Christian life. It has to go back to a change. A change that took place. And what caused that change is a power. The power of God that changes people through and through. So really, everybody needs to examine their own lives. Has that change taken place? Was there a time and a place in my life where that change took place? That's what you got to go back to. You've got to establish that first and foremost. A change has taken place. Or am I one who am still dead in trespasses and sins, but I've added a few beliefs to that life? I still walk according to the course of the world, still walk according to the prince of the power of the air, still walk with the children of disobedience, but I have a few beliefs. That doesn't save you. And that doesn't lead to a consistent Christian life. This change that takes place changes one's thinking. I have discovered that a lot of people who profess to be saved, if they're telling me the truth, their thinking hasn't changed one iota. Their thinking hasn't changed. That's a problem. If you're going to live for Christ's sake, again, it has to go back to a change that took place in your thinking. It also is a change that involves our perception. We don't perceive things like we did when we were lost. It is a change that has an effect upon our outlook of life and our viewpoint. Something's terribly wrong when one claims to be saved and yet their viewpoint is right in line with the world. On just about any topic, their viewpoint lines up with the world. Well, there obviously hasn't been a change that's affected their viewpoint. See, you can add a few beliefs and not necessarily change your viewpoint drastically. It is a change in our desires. When the Lord changed us, He changed our desires. Oh, we're not perfect. None of us are perfect. But we desire perfection. And we desire the things of God. We don't always do right, but we desire to do right. That's why it's very troubling when an individual tries to defend wrong and profess to be saved. Because yes, we do wrong, but one who has been changed desires to do right. So there has been a change in desires. There's been a change in our purposes. There's been a change in our intentions. This change, which is the foundation of living for His sake, changes our company. Again, we tell people this all the time, and it's true. Because a lot of times when someone is newly saved, they immediately get concerned, well, how are my friends going to take it? Am I going to have to separate from my friends? No, you won't have to separate from your friends. If you do what is right and you live like you're supposed to, they will separate from you. I guarantee it. They will withdraw from you. Maybe not completely, but there will be a withdrawing from you. So we change our company. Before we were saved, we were with the children of disobedience. Now, even though they might have been our best friends, friends that were going to be our friends for life, this change has taken place, and we find, I don't even desire to be with them. I don't want to be with them. They just don't, I don't enjoy them like I did before. Because a change has taken place. You see, if you can avoid, if you can enjoy the filthy-mouthed individuals that you enjoyed before you made a profession of salvation, something's terribly wrong. You can't enjoy that anymore because a change has taken place. And this change involves our whole way of life. So living for Jesus' sake is living the Christian life, and my whole point today is that life is based upon a change. If that change has not taken place, then you cannot possibly live that life, the Christian life, a life for Jesus' sake, in a consistent, steady manner. So we need to all examine, has that change taken place? Has the change taken place? Again, as we keep on stressing, people can say anything. They can use all the right words, but look for a change. Has a change taken place? That's the foundation. Let's look to the Lord. Word of prayer. Heavenly Father,